Do you think that you know, with when what's Chris Pine's name in Wonder Woman?
Oh, what is it? Steve Trevor?
Yeah, do you think Steve Trevor, when he's trying to like romance her, do you think he tries to put on your body as a Wonderland? Hi, I'm Brandon.
I'm Shania.
And I am officially dead to her.
That's correct.
And this is you don't like my joke? You don't like it?
He said he was gonna do a bit to start, and I
I
was
didn't
like,
say I was gonna
sure.
say I was gonna do my bit joke, and this was my bit joke. Welcome to Big Oof coming your way, where apparently my joke is a giant big oof, but I'm standing by it. So Shania, how have you been? I know we both had our birthdays since the
We
last
did.
recording.
Yeah, we had our little quarantine birthdays.
Yeah, we had an Among Us party.
We did.
Yeah, thank you to anybody who listens that was there. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciated it.
It was pretty fun. It was kind of overwhelming to be the imposter for the first time, and then I was that three more times in a row.
Yeah. But I'm pretty proud of you. When
Thank
you did the kill, when you killed me, you I do this thing in Among Us where like I do my butt waggle, but I also will sometimes do that for both, hey, come here, and also get the fuck away from me. I'm like a cat. You don't know if I want the pet or if I'm gonna claw you as soon as I see you.
That's true.
And Shania was the imposter. And I was doing my task in weapons, and Shania came up, and I stopped doing my task, and I was like, get away from me. And then she left, and I went back to my task, and she came back, and I was like, I'm not fucking playing with you. Get away from me. And I kind of like inched toward the emergency button and then back. I'm like, I will run. I am a coward. And then you left, and then you came back and just like bull rush murdered me and jumped in the vent and hid for a bit, and then you self-reported. And I
I did.
remember messaging you like, I'm so fucking proud of you. I love you so much for this move. I'm so, like, while you're
Yeah.
lying your teeth out, I'm typing to you that I'm proud of you.
Yeah. He's
So,
like, I fucking hate you, but
it's
I'm proud of you. Great job.
I didn't say I fucking hate you. I think I said good shit. That was good shit.
No, you did legitimately say, I fucking
Yeah, that might be true too.
hate you.
Oh, man, you know what? Talk about professionalism. We didn't talk about what we were going to talk about today at all. We didn't really talk about our Among Us game.
That's true. I mean, well, I mean, it's part of, what have you been doing? And we
We did.
haven't really been doing that much shit to not record for
Yeah.
a while.
How about we get to the part where we talk about what we're doing, the thing I just referenced before you decided to not talk about that thing.
Okay. Well, we well, by the time this episode will be released, it will be a very fucking anxious period for everyone.
Yeah. She's
And
talking about the
so,
election.
yes, obviously, I'm talking about the election.
Yeah, but you
And
just beat around
regardless,
the bush.
well, I was gonna say, anyway, regardless of what happens, everyone will deserve better than what happens. So the theme of our episode is characters who deserved better, because we all deserve better.
This is true. This is absolutely true, and I love the way that you said it.
Thank you very much.
Now, we also want to give thanks to these characters a lot, and during the process of this, we discovered we have too many. So we're gonna do this is our also our special Thanksgiving extravaganza of just giving thanks to all the good characters that we feel like deserved a lot more than what they got in their lot in life. So there's probably gonna be more episodes this month. Partially as a way to make up for the other episodes, but also mainly because we just have so many characters and we kind of want to like keep talking. So it's easier just to part them up than spending a 3-hour episode on my poor editing brain. So when it comes back to what we were doing, do you want to talk about what you were doing or shall I?
What have I done? I have been, first of all, because of our last episode, I was inspired to play Thrillville again.
Nice.
Which is great. Spent a good amount of a Saturday morning just in bed playing Thrillville. It's still as great as I remembered.
Some would say that you were off the rails.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a pun I approve of.
Thank you. We got one.
We got one, boys.
We did it.
Let's see. What else? One of my really, really, really good friends. I love you, Danny, if you're listening. But one of my really, really, really good friends gifted me 2 books for my birthday. And one of them was a collection of works by Junji Ito. And I've been reading that. Scary as fuck. Highly recommend for anyone who hasn't read his work already. His like body horror is just kind of wild. I finished Schitt's Creek. I started watching New Girl. I think that's it.
Okay.
Oh, and I've been playing Judgment.
That's good. Are you liking all that? Was Schitt's Creek ending good? Was New Girl good? Was Judgment good?
Yeah, so Schitt's Creek ended perfectly. It's one of those, I just feel like so many shows now, they don't end when they should, either because writers get really like selfish and want to keep going, or they get cut off early. So I feel like Schitt's Creek ended perfectly. So I really liked that. New Girl's been good so far. It's just very 2012 sometimes. And Judgment, it's like Yakuza, except you're a detective. So it's fun.
Good. Good.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been doing?
You know, basically same as usual. I played Hades. I played a lot of Hades. I'm still playing Hades. Mm-hmm. I'm building some stuff in Minecraft. Right before the podcast, I decided to watch Venom all the way through for the first time. These were my notes from it. I'm just going to like run through these real quick.
Okay.
The first thing, like honestly, my first note, like 5 minutes into the movie, was the Wonder Woman comment. I just thought of that. And so we already went over that one.
Okay.
Next thing, I said Eddie Brock is just Nick from New Girl, and I stand by that 100%. He sounds like him. He's a giant loser. He like is one of those dudes. He just kind of has even the acting. I want to do a side by side between Nick from New Girl and Eddie Brock, and they're the same fucking person to me.
You know what? That kind of makes a lot of sense. Except Eddie Brock is what? He's from New York?
He's Tom Hardy, yeah. And he's hotter. And he's from New York in this movie. That's it. Those are
Nick's Chicago.
Yeah. That's it.
But I think that's the only difference. They're both
the same. We're going to sit here. I'm going to get away for you to do a side-by-side with me. Next thing I wrote... Dan from that movie was actually like a really good dude. He was like the doctor. He's a really nice guy. Like he wasn't a jackass or anything. So I really enjoyed that. And so I like the idea, like, you know, she didn't leave him and marry an asshole or something. It's like, he's a legit cool guy. I love that there are so many people that are just collateral damage in this movie. They don't give a fuck about any of that, and I really enjoy that.
That's fair.
Because I feel like that's how they should be sometimes. Venom, actually a really lit partner through the entire movie, so I just really like Venom.
He just eats people sometimes.
Sometimes, but even then, it's just like chocolate. Like, that's even something straight from the comic book, is Venom eats people and chocolate for the exact same reason. They have one little thing that Venom particularly wants a nutrient of. So,
yeah,
you know, if you want to prevent yourself from cannibalism, just eat chocolate instead. I love the importance of friendship in this. I love that I wrote love all caps, that Venom is also a loser on his planet. So two losers. And then the line that made me laugh the loudest was when Eddie asked Venom, in reference to Riot, "You can take him, right?" And Venom's immediate no thought response was, "He has got shit you have never seen." Just like a 0% chance. I really love that. So that was it. That's what I did. That was my thoughts on Venom. Very enjoyable for somebody that has like superhero movie fatigue, because it just takes it a little less seriously than the others.
I absolutely have superhero movie fatigue. I haven't watched a superhero movie since Endgame.
Yeah, we watched that together.
And yeah, we did. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done for a good bit.
Yeah. You want to get into it?
Yeah, speaking of superheroes, the first thing I kind of wanted to talk about is, this is just kind of like a collective. I just feel like a good portion of the women in My Hero Academia deserve better, but especially Yaoyurozu. Because they really do her dirty, because it's like, she just needs a gun. She just needs a gun.
I don't know how she can't just make gun. I guess like guns are still illegal in this future Japan, where people can shoot things and we have a character that's like Gunhead or whatever.
Isn't there also not just Gunhead though, there's like Snipe, or what's his name?
Yeah, who uses like...
Yeah, he fucking lit up Shigaraki.
Also, remember that one dude in the forest who just had gas canisters and a gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're also... Gun. Just make a gun.
Girl, she made a gun. A whole
cannon. Just make the gun.
Literally, just pull out a Glock. Like, see how many people will fight you.
Yeah.
Not many.
It's so simple.
Yeah, I just feel like... I know that My Hero Academia is a shonen, you know, manga and anime, and, you know, the fights are kind of always focused on Deku or Todoroki or Bakugo, but I do feel like in this one, especially, because we actually also just saw the first My Hero Academia movie.
Well, also just saw, I mean, it was like 2 months ago, but yeah.
I mean, you know, time's not real. So we saw it not too long ago. And even in that one, I just kind of felt like a lot of the girls didn't really do much of anything except for just kind of support and propel all of the boys forward. And so I'm just not really a huge fan of it. Like, I'm interested to see when more female heroes will be utilized, especially Mirko. Maybe because I'm kind of obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like her to step on me. Respectfully.
That's really fair. I my phone kept vibrating and I was like, I don't know if it's being picked up. So I like casually just tossed it behind me and I literally heard it like hit the wall and I was like, oops.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Luckily I have an otter case for that exact reason. But you made a great joke and I just didn't want it to be spoiled, like, oh man, I didn't laugh at her good joke.
I mean, it's not even a joke, it's just
it's also a fact, but that's the thing. All the best jokes are laced in truth. She got those watermelon crushing thighs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely she does. The day that Megan Thee Stallion cosplays as her is the day that I respectfully pass away. So I'm very ready.
Much, much like My Hero Academia's first opening, the day has come. I've got really good puns today.
Yeah, come on. You really do. You're kind of killing it.
Thank
proud
you.
Of you.
I also have a My Hero Academia did 'em dirty. They don't do the character Mirio like dirty in terms of like writing, but the anime specifically, it's widely known what they did was, while they were working on season 4, they were also working on the second movie, Heroes Rising, and so what they did is they couldn't like put all their resources into one or the other, so what you got was drawbacks in certain areas. The most egregious and noticeable is taking Mirio's fight and putting it into slides from the manga, essentially. And I don't get me wrong, I like those slides from the manga, but I watch an anime to watch a manga get animated.
Yeah, because you know that they put all of the budget in that fight into like Midoriya versus Overhaul.
I know where they put the budget in the movie. Like, I know exactly where they put the goddamn budget in that movie, let alone that season. But that's the thing. They did this in such a way. It's the same problem with the girls in that arc, where they literally just do jack shit on the top of the raid. With the one big dude, and they plus ultra their way into the actual plot. Mirio has one fight. He has literally one fight.
Yeah.
And so
sure does.
I don't mind Kirishima. I get Kirishima had two fights, but every time I go back and revisit it, I look at the Kirishima fights and say, this took a whole episode out of it. When they could have sped this shit up.
I love Kirishima, but I do feel like he was kind of one of those characters in the latest season that got like a little bit too much screen time.
Compared to people that I wanted to see, because Kirishima's had a lot of screen time, and his best moment, his whole culmination for about 3 seasons was leading up to the moment that he yells for Baku to go to take his hand.
Yeah.
That's essentially like their dual friendship arc coming into fruition. It's a great moment. Kirishima has not evolved much past that point of where we are in the anime. And so,
yeah,
I want more from other characters right now. Like in the past 4 seasons, the biggest thing that we've seen out of Ashido is when Kirishima didn't step up and have that hero moment. She did. And she knows how to dance, and she's still underutilized to this day, even in the manga.
So, yeah, Jiro too, I think.
Yeah, at least Jiro had the band thing. She that had was the kind band of about thing. Her accepting her regular life.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Suyu. She could be used a lot more.
She took a nosedive after seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In use. Like, there just wasn't much to do with her, I guess. I don't really get it. But, I mean, even now, you can tell it's focused more and more on the big 3, which would be Midoriya, Todoroki, and Bakugo. All 3 of them are boys. All 3 of them easily get the best budget. It's sometimes fine. But I miss it when, like, Ida really felt like he was a rising member of that so-called big 3 idea.
Oh, my last point is, honestly, shout out to Deku Squad, because they don't give a fuck. Like, when you compare Bakugo's friends and Deku's friends, like, they've broken multiple laws.
They're absolute hooligans for it. Bakugo...
Ida literally planned a murder.
He did do that. But that's kind of the thing. Bakugo seems extremely aggressive, but I mean, he's also, I go to bed at 9 p.m. I study That's really true. Hard. I'm like top of the class. Like,
that's just
second to Yao Yorozu in brains, and he's easily one of the most physical fighters. Like, he's actually very responsible, even with the intensity of killing germs every morning and at night. So,
yeah,
really the good egg here, but yeah. Not really. Midoriya's got the attitude, but he's a delinquent, and I will not have you hanging out with him.
He's an absolute fucking delinquent.
Mm-hmm. So that wraps up our My Hero Academia portion. Thank you, ladies of My Hero Academia, to the mentioned mm-hmm. and non-mentioned. And thank you, Mirio. You definitely both deserved better.
We love Tintin!
Yeah. He is really just Tintin, though.
He's absolutely he's
Tintin. The Adventures of Tintin, getting superpowers. And then having them briskly taken away.
Oh, rip. So my next point is mm-hmm. Someone who has really done dirty. I don't know if any of you kind of remember Sleepy Hollow. I'm talking about the iteration, like the TV series on Fox in like the mid 2010s. But, you know, the premise of the show was really cool. It's that Ichabod was kind of transported to the present, and he becomes really good friends and eventually kind of like a love interest with Abigail Mills, who's played by Nicole Beharie. And she is like amazing. Her character's great. Her like whole arc with her sister and her kind of developing relationship with Ichabod is like amazing. But the story runners, they kind of decided that they were gonna start pushing her relationship with Ichabod aside for Katrina, who was Ichabod's wife during like his time period. And they fucking, in the end, they decide to kill her off. And she's the main character.
Yeah, wait, now, hold up. We've talked about this once before, and there was a lot more behind-the-scenes stuff here that I feel like you did not mention, and I'd really like to explore that a lot more, personally.
So essentially, I mean, they kind of done it before. So Orlando Jones was also on the show, and he played her boss, and he was kind of outspoken about the treatment that she was receiving on the show and how they would kind of push her character aside for Katrina's, because Katrina also traveled back to the present, and she kind of, I wouldn't say she like ruined their dynamic, but they definitely started like favoring her and her relationship with Ichabod over Abigail's. And so he was kind of so vocal about it on Twitter that they killed off his character. But then he got cast onto American Gods. So that was kind of hilarious. Like right after Sleepy Hollow got canceled. But
I have so the last kinda, laugh.
No, literally. He's like, I'm going to laugh all the way to the bank. But, you know, she, the thing about Nicole Beharie is that she literally went to Juilliard. Like, she is, like, a fantastic actress, and the fact that she was the main character of the show, this Black woman who's, like, she was, like, allowed to be, like, vulnerable, and she was so excellent at portraying being vulnerable and, like, someone who's expected to be tough, and she just kind of, like, she went through so much, and then in the end, she fucking sacrifices herself for Ichabod. And then at the end, when it's just Ichabod, the show got canceled. So, you know?
Yeah, like right after they killed her off, or like a season later?
Yeah, literally, I think the same season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huge turnaround.
That they killed her off. It got canceled.
We call that unceremoniously killed off. And luckily that's exactly what happened to the show too.
Yeah.
So Would you like to do your thanks and appreciation?
Yes, I would like to give my thanks and appreciation to Abigail Mills as being an awesome character, and just to Nicole Beharie in general. Like, I haven't really seen her in that much since the show ended, which is just really unfortunate because she's a really good actress.
Yeah. Well, we hope you're out there, if you ever listen to this somehow, you're out there living your best life, hon. Because we're all trying to as well.
Yeah, mood.
All right. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Gohan. And I'm going to talk about Dragon Ball. And this one's, like, widely known, so I'm not going to, like, spend a ton of time on exactly what happened, like, in detail. But I'll tell enough to, like, summarize it. I'm mainly going to talk about it's bullshit, and that's where we're going to focus here. So basically, okay. Dragon Ball, you know, it's the Goku, pew, pew, key blast, something, something, Kamehameha, yeah, I win, pew, fight, pew, or die.
Okay. What?
What'd you say?
Nothing. I said not pew, pew.
So yeah, so like Dragon Ball, it's the whole pew, pew. You do the Kamehameha, he wins or dies. You have Gohan, who is Goku's son, and throughout Dragon Ball Z, which is the, like, basically next part of it, the idea is you start seeing glimpses of Gohan have this really big power spike when he gets mad, and then it just comes back down to Earth because he's like a 5-year-old. So this culminates in the Cell Saga, where he is now an 11-year-old, and because of his anger, because he's unleashing, like, so much power, and because he's naturally the most potential out of anybody in existence that we knew of at the time, he is the strongest person. And with Goku dying the second time, this leaves Gohan to be your new main protagonist. Well, obviously, Dragon Ball is based off of sales more than anything else, instead of actual, like, creative integrity. I'd say it's not like it's not worked on hard by the main person, but it is driven by merchandise, and Goku is your merchandise. This is why they won't kill off Goku or Vegeta for extended periods of time. So, Goku obviously comes back, and because he's now back as well, Gohan goes from literally the, like, passing the torch to the next generation, an interesting young person who has all the power in the world with no inherent desire to just fight all day. They like, Gohan wants to be more than a fighter. To slap that shit out of the way and just weaken him to totality. So he gets punked in the Buu Saga. He gets punked in Dragon Ball Super. He gets punked again in the tournament arc. He just gets punked. Absolutely decimated time after time. It's like, thank goodness he wasn't in the Broly movie. I didn't want to watch Gohan get ripped to shreds by this big fucking brute of a man. So, yeah, exactly. So it's just, it's sad because, like, the artistic direction was to retire Goku to put in his son. That was the artistic intent. And honestly, Cell Saga was supposed to be the end, but they wanted to do another saga, and it just tanked Gohan's character, which was really sad because, like, in my generation, I didn't, like, grow up with Goku as much as I grew up with Gohan. So Goku had his story. He had his arc figured out.
He had his time.
Yeah, this was an arc developed by the creator to put a new person in that I grew up on. And they just fucking ruined him for money. And so, yeah, I hate it because Gohan's a good dude. He's smart. He's gentle. He's a kind person. He's not obsessed with fighting, and he's not putting the world at risk for death matches. He just wants to, live life and have a nice time and everybody to get along. What's so wrong with that?
Which is a mood. Truly, yeah. It's a mood.
So, yeah, I just really appreciate you, Gohan. I wish you got better than that. You're not my favorite character, though. They canonized Broly, and that version of Broly slaps! And they did every bit of justice to him. So also, thanks, Broly, for being a character that's canon now.
Ooh! Yeah, being a real-life character.
Oh, I can't wait to just spend a whole episode talking about Broly. We gotta put it up there with the Hannibal, the Titanic, and the Broly episode.
Yeah, I agree.
Alright, so I said my thanks. We have time for another. Let's keep it rolling.
Yep. So my last person.
Doesn't have to be last. This is a continuous podcast episode, essentially.
Oh, true. Okay. Well, for now, my last person is Peggy Carter. Because you have Agent Carter. Right after the first Captain America movie, Agent Carter just kind of documents her like moving on from Steve and, you know, eventually finding someone new to love and getting married and having kids. She has a whole moment where she throws away a vial of his blood.
Ugh.
And yeah, but I mean, you know.
I get it, but ugh.
Yeah,
I was going to keep his blood vial.
When you say it out loud, it's kind of weird.
Every day on his birthday, I take the smallest injection and I take
the most
at it.
Stop right now. But
Peggy Carter.
Yeah, but she has a whole moment where she has definitively moved on from him and kind of establishes herself in her career, and she helps Tony's dad found S.H.I.E.L.D. And so she's like this badass woman who's experienced heartbreak, but she just fucking moves on with her life like everyone else does. But then at the end of Endgame, Steve is like, JK, I'm gonna teleport my ass back in time because Peggy is basically my consolation prize. So, you know, fuck my best friend who I basically started a war for, and he was tortured, that's none of my business, whatever else happens, he just goes back in time to go see Peggy and to be with her. And so instead of her, you know, moving on and getting married and all that stuff, like that's her like new destiny and future. I think that's pretty fucked up.
Are we forgetting that he made out with, like...
Yeah, he made out with her niece.
Yeah, something like that.
Her, like, great niece.
How do you bring that up when the niece gets bored in that timeline?
What do you do?
I guess you just kind of, like, never mention it and keep that as your dark secret. Steve!
I feel like we just kind of let... We just kind of let it happen. We were like, okay, I guess that's something that we're just allowing to happen.
Here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could talk, as I've talked about to you before, or to anybody before, really, because I've talked about this a couple times already. I could mention the moment that could have been redone in Endgame where he sees her and has like the acceptance that she's moved on and how that would have been better.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because that is still the problem that I've realized in talking about it. The fundamental issue with Peggy is that in the movies, she is always an object for Captain America to have some type of emotional, like, relatability to. She's not a real character in the movies at all. So it's not just like, oh, they did her dirty. They didn't do anything with her movie-wise. Not incredibly after, like, even in the first Captain America, she's especially because in that time period it was worse. She is just more of an object for Steve to have, like, that emotional, like, trauma. And she's not a really fully realized three-dimensional person on screen. And she never is.
Yeah. She straight up didn't really have that much development until Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, he's kind of always looking at her picture, and he's always thinking about her. And I always think it's interesting that he calls her the love of his life, because I keep thinking about the timeline of the first Captain America movie, and I don't even think they knew each other for that long.
I mean, it could still be the love of his life. Because it is months on tour when he's as basically a stage prop.
Yeah.
However, I just want to, like, go back to the he has the picture. I really do think we should have a petition for Chris Evans to, because he's sick of the character now too.
Yeah.
You know, can we get him to do the Wolverine meme with the picture where he's just laying in the bed looking at, like, a picture of Peggy? You know, yeah, I just want that. Except, like, can we just have different iterations where he goes and, like, puts that picture away and picks up another picture and it's Bucky, and then he just kind of, like, goes down the list and he just does that, because that's Steve's character now.
I mean, I think that's what kind of made the least amount of sense to me, because, you know, whether or not you think that Steve and Bucky have kind of like sexual tension and you think that they belong together romantically, that's like a whole other discourse that I'm just gonna ignore. But, you know, either way, they're still people who were best friends for decades, and he went through so much to get to Bucky. He went through so much to for him to recover, and kind of as soon as he's like out of the ice and, you know, kind of in the mental state to maybe get to know Steve again, he's like, peace.
Yeah, I just, well, that's kind of the complicated thing about these superhero things is, and this isn't the place to talk about all of that. I think of what a lot of things do is in getting wrapped up in the power fantasy that is superheroes, is we forget that they, most of the time, they're merely just human, and that they have the human condition that we all do. I will reference in that, and this is something that I want you to read, I'll try to find a copy for you. A really good example of that is All-Star Superman. Because the idea of All-Star Superman, it was written by two people, one of which the year before his father passed away. And he basically uses All-Star Superman, because it was under the All-Star heading, is what if Superman essentially had a terminal illness and he has one year left to live and he's fully aware of it. So it's, you know, Superman is two things. He's quintessentially good. His character is always like, what if you corrupt pure good? Or like, what's the best that humanity has to offer? And why is it ironic it's not somebody that's born on Earth? It's somebody with an outside perspective, which can speak to a lot of metaphorical things. The other thing is that he's very human. He's a person. So it's really interesting to see somebody with the power of multiple gods be broken down into the essence of humanity that defines Superman's character. And I feel like that's something that, even though I don't care for the DC cinematic universe, I do care for certain DC comics in that way, because I feel like it's like a piece of the soul that's missing from Marvel, and that it's sometimes there. Like, I'll catch a glimpse of it on screen, you know? But I never saw it in Captain America. And I know some people, Captain America is their favorite character. But
I mean, I was going to say, I feel like the Winter Soldier Captain America is definitely peak Captain America for me.
Yeah, and even then, for me, it's like, he's great. He's super. But that's kind of the problem, too, is he's really super, and I don't think they fully tear the cloth back on that. They give you the glimpse, but they never have a moment that I feel like he's 100% human. Mm-hmm. Just in moments of his humanity shining through this exterior.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think that maybe only Iron Man was the closest to accomplishing, because they did multiple times. You rip away the suit and Tony Stark is at the end of the day a hero. But that's kind of saying the opposite, where like even the most ordinary person, you know, with billions of dollars and, you know, inheritance could become a superhero. It's that not saying can a superhero truly be human. So yeah, I feel like Peggy is another extension of proving that we see very too much that we fail to see that. And yet she would have been a great addition to add humanity to a revolving door of superhumans.
I agree. And I think there is one, there's one AU where she is like a Winter Soldier, right?
Oh yeah.
And like one. Yeah.
Everything is an, I mean, even All-Star Superman is an AU. It's more or less, and that's kind of the thing is, AUs are just a different way to tell a story. I don't really consider them any less canon than anything else, because the world of comics is vast, complicated, so pick your favorites and consider that what you find closest to your heart.
Yeah.
It's even proven in those that, like, there's a universe where that is the canon. It's mixed all your stories, your big fantasy of all stories combined. That's the canon in that specific universe. So just say you like that universe, I guess.
Yeah.
But thanks, Peggy. Thanks for being a better character in Starting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it for part one.
Yeah. We will be releasing a part two semi soon. I have more people that I absolutely want to talk about.
Yeah, I didn't scratch the surface. This might be all month if it goes, but it honestly might, because that'd be four episodes, and I feel like that's a dent that I could get into.
Yeah,
we'll see in recording if it's good. You know, for that, but hope you enjoyed it. Also, if you have characters that you'd like to mention and talk about, you can email them to us at bigoofcomingyourway@gmail.com. You can also at me on Twitter. I'm at Brawlmite. And Shania is at
The Carb Goblin.
And just say, like, you know, what character you like and why you're thankful for them. Because we'll talk about the ones that we feel like deserved a little more than what they got. But if you can't think of one, but you just say, hey, I really like this character, thanks for being a character that influenced my life,
mm-hmm.
do it.
And everyone, take care of yourselves. A lot of shit's about to go down.
Yeah, so we're all in this together. It's the human condition.
Yeah.
Can't believe I got existential on my own podcast. I want to go back to the pun jokes.
Okay. Bye, friends. Be gay. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah. And
we love you.
Yeah. Especially we love you.